I think the thief made a point that he would show no regret, was willing to listen, was willing to reconsider a meeting with Bertram.
Yes, he was. Yes, he did show an interest.
So now, his men have to be messaged while he sticks around. While he sticks around to the end of the trial.
Yes.
And is given a verdict with the condition of doing community service and making his men making the ex-Charnian soldiers give themselves up.
What was that again? What was that?
Making the ex-Charnian soldiers who joined the band in the first place give themselves up.
That's part of the agreement?
Yeah.
So you see that Caspian is leaning over with Francis. The prosecutors are having a huddle.
Oh, no. Not right now. Just for after.
Okay.
When the verdict is given.
Okay. Very well, then. We will discuss this at that time, then.
Good. I commend him for not wanting him to betray his friend, for not wanting to betray his comrades.
Yes, that's definitely unfortunate in this case, but it is still an honorable quality. So
Keith brought back, and we were gonna look at the book.
Right. So, Bertram opens up the book, and he lays down the pages that the captain of the guard had supposedly found already in the locked chest that he had stolen from Roderick. And the court murmurs in its suspicion. And as can be seen on the judge and King Edmund next to him, they're not entirely believing his story. But be that as it may, that's a separate topic. Right now, they go to open up the book, and Francis, using his auto-translator from the past. Unfortunately, this auto-translator, even though some of the words are coming in clearly, other words are not. And even then, to their surprise, Bertram Caspian and Francis, looking over the book, can see that it appears to be... looks like it's gibberish. Can you make any of it out? Down, upward, the sky. Lower, trees, behold. Sea, mountain tops, beneath the valley. I don't know what this is. Maybe it's a riddle. Some sort of clue or treasure hunt? Possibly. I don't even... This old book, I don't think it really has a title. I think it's just some sort of image, and unfortunately, I'm rather ignorant when it comes to the history of my family.
Why don't we talk to Medulla about it? She might be able to figure out. She's in the skies most of the time.
She is. Well, we can ask Medulla. And Medulla arrives, and she looks at the book... And she's very solemn. She looks about and says, "These words are not meant in this courtroom." What do you mean by that? There's a certain urgency in her tone. "Just what I mean. They are not meant for here. The subjects in this book do not belong to be bandied about within a courtroom. Do you understand?" And there's confusion. "Can you not explain?" And Medulla gives a hard look. "If I were to explain, then there would be no difference in me reading and untangling the mystery in front of you all. So no, I cannot explain right now." And Caspian and Francis look at each other, and Edmund is visibly disappointed. And she glances over towards the captain of the guard. "I believe this court has its hands full with more pressing matters at the moment." and the prosecutors are reminded of their initial intent and goal in this court case.
That is true. Does it at least say anything about Vina's mom? Anything?
Vina's mom? I cannot say for certain, but it does speak of the persons of Chan, but I do not think that this book directly ties Vina to that, per se.
What about the other two books that Birkin found?
I think Francis, Caspian says, intervening, seeing the look on Medulla's face. I think Medulla wants us to stay focused in this court case. We are not here to delve up the secrets of Chan or of Narnia's other enemy. We are here to address the reason why we invaded in the first place. Is that not right, Francis?
That is, you know what, yeah, that is fair, and I believe we're almost done with that, and so, personally, I think we should, let Bertram say his piece.
And Medulla nods. Very well, I think that is a very good way to continue and conclude this court case. And, by the way, I must mention to you, Francis, that I am very pleased and impressed that your desire for justice has kept yourself... You have not been resorting to violence and anger initially in order to solve these difficulties and quarrels. And I want to say that I saw it, she smiles, indicating where she resides in the sky, and that I was quite pleased with your behavior.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So, Bertram then?
Yes, let's head back in.
So, Bertram gets sworn in. And Caspian goes, very well then, Francis. He's all yours. What questions did you have? What is it that you wish for him to speak about?
All right. Well, out of everything that you have had the opportunity to hear about in the court case, of all the revelations that have come out, some of which being in shock and defense of your brother, what do you think of this whole thing? And what do you think of everything regarding the past few months? Whatnot.
Bertram takes a deep breath and, looking down, avoids the glance of Roderick, who is also brother-like brother, shyly looking down, but still Bertram can see out of the corner of his eye that Roderick is managing to take a sly glance, hesitant look towards Bertram, curious and mortified at this entire procedure. Bertram takes a breath. I think that in light of this court case, I think it is clear that Chan was not being governed properly. And while that includes the neglect and the sorrow of the people, I am also grateful for the opportunity to ask so many questions and open the many and the unknown doors that have been closed in my face repeatedly to finally receive those answers. And to finally be able to understand and see how much the corruption in Chan was not limited to my brother. And while this might sound wrong, in my heart I am honest that I am glad that it was not simply my brother who was responsible for the damages done to my kingdom. I therefore feel a greater resolve and responsibility as the new king to be more aware of those who propose to be my closest advisors and allies. For, unfortunately, it was not so. And the captain enters in. It was not as definitive as in such the particular and peculiar light as has been proposed. Oh no, I'm sure it was much worse, sir. And there's a murmur in the crowd. They like Bertram's directness. No, I'm sure there's a great deal more information that you have managed to hide and cover up. In your cleverness and in your foresight, probably the moment that either the battle began or the battle finished, you probably had a suspicion of what was to come next, and I'm sure that many a document, many a bribe, any record of such, has been hidden, destroyed, any valuables that may have... Your Honor, this is unproven, slanderous, and order, order! Peter strikes his gavel. My Lord, there has not been any witness speaking to any of these claims. The witness is allowed to speak his mind in his own terms. No one is relegating them on the same level as evidence. You should know this. Do not interrupt him again, or you shall be punished.
Again. So, Bertram, how would you compare your love for the people for the people versus that of the captain of the guard?
Oh. Well, I should hope, and I do honestly think that I do love the people and care for them. Any conversation or attempted conversation that I had with the captain was always a very awkward, brief, and impossible conversation. And the ones that I heard from Roderick, overheard those, which were quite few. I was rarely privy to their personal conferences. And I do believe that was from the desire of the captain, not so much my brother. My brother did not really believe in my ability to manage anything, so he would not have minded either way. But the captain, I see even more clearly now his reasons why, was very intent on me never being allowed in any of his conferences with Roderick. And for that reason, I think I am very justified in saying that my love for the people is quite considerably keener and large, and I am impressed with their need. And I do not think that the captain cared to notice their need, and if it was only to insult them, particularly if it got in the way of his revenues entering into his pocket. That is my opinion.
All right. So as you can see here, Bertram loved the people, whereas the captain of the guard didn't. Just before, the captain of the guard may have had a tiny or moderate something to gain for Bertram's absence. But my theory was this. With this, I turned to the captain of the guard. You had your own complaints on, and I quote, the manner on how Bertram approached Roderick. He kept persisting, and in your eyes, pestering Roderick for change in the Kingdom of Charm, being fair with the people and the individual properties of land making up the kingdom. This thought, of course, infuriated you because if Roderick even considered listening to Bertram, there would be proper order for the most part in the kingdom. Everyone would be treated justly and well. But you would eventually have a lot to lose from acting honestly in some cases. So while faking loyalty to Roderick, you made secret deals with the soldier guarded bandits who previously turned their backs on the king. This, of course, didn't sit well with you, so you couldn't take the risk of Bertram catching on to you. You were more than happy when Bertram loved King Roderick all to yourself, without having to occasionally deal with whiny old Bertram complaining to his brother about how the kingdom should operate. In fact, it playing up to the monarchy up to this point, and I challenge you to debate me on this, but how would we even know that you wouldn't have convinced Roderick that you didn't need Bertram, and that he was just a headache standing in the progress of Charn's future, or more appropriately, your future? So you bided your time, excusing yourself from searching further beyond the coast. You could have even checked the tower where we first came in, with us even leading you on. Also, while you weren't excited, you might have seen some benefits from it had Charn been the victor. You would slowly but surely rake in most, if not all, of the cash for yourself, with most of the kingdom being left to sell. And you would have Roderick in your back pockets as a means to cover for your past and future crimes. Or better yet, just rule the kingdom yourself, since you had the most money for it. I will say that you made three mistakes throughout all this. Number one, mismanaging the taxes and the money in the... That was second mistake, not even being present for the plan noted. Instead, then your last mistake was using that box to attack Lord Caspian and King Edmund. I will give you credence to your original point. You're right, we don't like Roderick, and our original trial was certainly aimed towards Roderick. But ironically, you've done a remarkable job of shifting the focus from Roderick to you by your behavior and blatant subtle disrespect for the monarchy. I dare say I'm quite impressed with how cooperative Roderick's been for being the defendant. If you did succeed, though, and the monarchy was nothing wiser, then I must ask the question. How do you profit off of corpses? How can you justify bartering or doing business with anybody if nobody is alive to conduct such actions? It'd be quite pointless, and you'd be all alone with a big pile of useless cash, as would anyone else if they acted this way. So I challenge you, either confirm or deny the claims laid before you. I say, pointing my finger to the captain of the guard.
And the captain gives a slow glare. And before he's able to respond, there's a... Wow, sad Francis! And Caspian, while Beaver is shushed, Caspian does nod towards Francis in his... Good wording, Francis.
Thank you.
The captain looks about. Oh, it's all grand, isn't it, all of you, coming in here to the rescue? While who is back at home, governing your kingdoms? Who is tending them and making sure that they are being cared for as you are so nobly interested in this poor, pathetic kingdom? Get to the point! My point is that there is far more neglect amongst all of these kingdoms and amongst all rulers than you care to acknowledge publicly. Your own self-grandeur and justification, oh, it felt marvellous, didn't it, riding on your steeds, coming through whatever it was that you travelled through, in order to subdue an enemy that was not even yours. That is an absolute lie, is it? It is a lie! You were priming Roderick. There is no evidence. There is evidence. The Osprey himself would testify, and did testify, that he was stoking up Roderick. And that was the Osprey. The Osprey and Lady Vina. Exactly! It was not me. But you had intended... You had already acted upon any holes in the taxation and the ability to be able to take for yourself. But that is not the same. That is not the same as being an enemy of Narnia and in desiring to invade you. Why on earth? Why would I desire to invade Narnia? He gestures
simple,
helplessly.
The money.
But according to your own accusation, I had more money... Then I could even substantiate any happiness with. You had just spelt out clearly, with everyone dead.
You could have gotten even more from the war.
And he rolls his eyes. According to you, I was slowly killing everyone in this kingdom in order to obtain their money and means. How and with what would I be able to attack your kingdom? Hey, Matt, before that. It is a preposterous statement. Oh, no, it is not. You, sir, have been stealing at your own whim, and you have been cutting off requests to the king. One instance is not a matter to make a history of. If I would ask every soldier, they would have been bribed from you, wouldn't they? And they wouldn't say a word. That is an outrageous, slanderous accusation. I do not need to answer this at all.
Is it really? No, you are under oath to answer them.
For every soldier? No. I must admit that I've probably not spoken to everyone. Well, more than once. Well, for a greater majority then, you coward. Coward! Yes, you coward! For every one of them, one out of five. There's an awkwardness. You're under oath. I don't know the numberings and how many soldiers I have in my garrison. Well, then you're not much of a captain of any guard, are you? It's all in my record books, which are right here. Caspian slams it down. I'm not going to take the time to look at the numbers. We're not doing anything else. So the captain, awkwardly, sits it over. The number amounts to 475 soldiers in the garrison, all throughout Sharn.
I must admit, Captain of the Guard, for a while, you had a very gullible and easily manipulated apprentice. Or should I call you Darth Prophetess? You have to make yourself a Sith Lord. The only thing you lack are the yellow eyes and lightning.
And he blinks. Well, I think those are two very crucial characteristics, do you not agree? And I don't even know what a Darth Prophetess is.
That's Darth Prophetess. I mean, Darth Prophetess, that's you. But I digress.
It is apparent that you have been wielding a certain selfishness and evil in the background, I think, is what the prosecutor is attempting to illustrate.
Yes.
Well,
you played both sides in the war.
And he glares. There was no war. There was only war when you showed up. And I'd like to remind the court that perhaps that was an illegal move on your case due to the fact that we did not initiate or instigate any motion of war. We had King Roderick himself speaking of it, and that record has been played in the courts. There's no point in dribbling that up again, Captain. Well, then, if you're so convinced that we were going to go to war, then all that corpse talk would have been pointless. I would have needed soldiers.
You're getting pretty close. Did you actually attempt to stop Roderick when he had aspirations to go and invade Narnia?
You act as if somehow it was my responsibility. The king is my king. If he wishes to go, then that is his choosing. And yet, the king is the king, and when his brother would try to attempt to mitigate the hardships of the people, if Roderick got to the notion that perhaps that was a good idea, would the king, as the king's orders, be so blindly and obediently followed? Well, that is a different subject entirely, and it never got to that point. I am sure you made sure of that. Now hold a minute! It's true. There's pause, and they'll look at Roderick. Your Majesty. Well, you're doing an excellent job defending me, Captain. You're quite eager to put all blame onto me. Now, Your Highness, I spoke to you of this. My motives are not very clear. No, they are very clear, Captain. Roderick stands up frustratedly. May I speak to the court?
Please do.
Now, Roderick, remember what? Remember all that I've witnessed in the past few days here? Oh, yes, I shan't forget it, Captain. He gulps. If it pleases the court, Roderick says dryly, I think I have already spoken my piece regarding my own awareness of my guilt, my need to acknowledge and admit the failures that I did as king. I also acknowledge and admit that I do not acknowledge and admit, perhaps, the depth of my guilt. But I will say that this man, and he points, on many occasions, in a way that was subtle, due to the fact that I was a wild stallion, easy to coerce into certain directions. I felt freedom, but I was corralled and did not know it. Yes, well, to answer your accusations that the captain is so willing to object to, there were many an occasion when he did encourage me. Now, granted, he'll say I initiated the conversation, and that is true. I did. But I never once heard any tone of disregard or an attempt to talk me down. He would let me speak. And if there was any disagreement, the only thing that came out was in a tone of silence. But I never once heard him remind me of the bounty that was available in Charn, and there was no need to invade Narnia. So that, Captain, answers your arguments, and it does allay any questions of those allegations. Yes, I can testify against my own defender that he was guilty of that. And your other grievance with him of only being interested in his own whereabouts, of his own needs, of his own desires, and being sure that everyone else was there to give his own comfort. Yes, I can testify to that as well. The few instances that I have been brought to my attention in this courtroom clarify more vague instances and experiences that I had not put much thought to in the past. And now I see the same pattern. And no, Captain, he cries angrily, it did not happen once, or even twice. There were many messages from those beneath your status that were interrupted by you or by those instructed from you to keep those notes, requests, messages, all communications were filtered through you and were not allowed to pass to myself without your agreement and consent. And from what I can recall, if I can ponder a moment, the few messages that I did see, it was not very many. And so I can rightfully imagine that perhaps a great percentage were sent back to their pitiful owners. And yes, I was negligent, but I was also unaware of this behavior. I was foolishly trusting. And that perhaps is probably, well, it's definitely a more conscious fault on my end to be so trusting of this man. Anyway, I do not wish for him to snake talk around your allegations. Yes, Charn would have slowly turned into a graveyard. And I imagine, looks towards Francis, that your words, sir, are true. Had Bertram become even any more of an inconvenience, I shudder and wonder what sort of errand would have sent him down south towards those thieving, murderous robbers, and my brother would never have been heard of again. It all would have been very neatly and cleanly dealt with. And with a few forced tears, I would have been promptly encouraged to forget all about my nagging little brother. Granted, he looks towards the judge's table before the captain is allowed to explode to his own defense. Granted, that is all I admit. Supposition. But I would only mention the supposition if I do not think it were reasonably possible if the right circumstances played out. You were going to say?
Sir, I thank you for that, Roderick. And, Captain, I have one more question. For you. Granted, this is a bit of a repeat one, but how much concern did you actually have for Bertram when Roderick was concerned that he was kidnapped by gypsies, or flooded gypsies, or trapped in another town by a flood, or stuck swimming for survival in a river, as was shown in one of the tapes? What was your concern?
The captain is cold. The king. The king was only so concerned himself. That is not true, he slams his fist. You, sir, are changing history for the benefit of the court. You, sir, have recordings. I was concerned for my brother at a certain length when his return was not apparent. Is that not so?
It is absolutely so.
So therefore, you have already been caught in trying to play around and askew history your own self, sir.
Here, let's play the recording. And with this, we play over the recording of when Roderick gets... of exactly the conversation of Roderick getting concerned about the gypsies and whatnot. When the gypsy... Actually, it may have been before the gypsies. The recording before the gypsies.
And it was true.
We disguised ourselves as his conscience.
Right. And yes, it was very true. Roderick, at first, was nonchalant and uncaring, but after a few days of passing, he did grab genuine concern for the security of his brother. And so, being thus openly caught in a lie, the captain of the guard glares coldly.
Roderick needed his brother in his life, and you needed him out of his life for your own gains.
He stares back at him. What do you have to say to that? Bertram was a young man of his own means. I do not see how I should be punished for leaving it to his own abilities to take care of himself. Oh, poetry means nothing, Captain. How do I know you didn't send men out to hunt him down? Your Majesty, nothing. You had no conscience in setting off an avalanche and allowing the murder of innocent peasants. Bertram gave you more of a daily irate motivation to remove him. And so a dark brooding comes over the captain, and he slowly...
Let's have him get even angrier.
Alright, so you want him to get angry, okay.
Yeah, want him to try and keep fighting this up to the next tape.
Okay, yeah, because I think we're over our time, so I can leave him off with an explosion of, if His Majesty were so concerned about Bertram, I do not see why he did not go out and head the searching party himself. Perhaps he was aware of the strange and unknown visitors that had been invading his quarters, and perhaps he said it for their behalf. That accusation, we shall return the next time.
Indeed, with Beaver fighting him too.
Oh, Beaver will listen to no such nonsense. Well, good session. Very good speech, by the way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well written. Concise, to the point. Multiple points. Well done.
Right. I cannot wait to share it with Mom.
That's awesome. Yeah, I certainly hope that all goes nicely. So, I heard that you were doing the dishes.
Thanks. I was doing the dishes, which is why Mom let us continue. But I won't say.
Yeah.
I think the next episode, I'm ready to conclude the trial. Once Captain of the Guard explodes enough.
Okay.
It'll be time for King Peter to give his verdict.
I think we have reached that point. There has been many a final discussion and sharing of thoughts. It's been a very, very intense court case.
Indeed. And of course, obviously, I think the captain of the guard should get a sentence even longer than the Osprey.
I think his malice and active cruelty towards living persons, rather than plotting and planning for a future revenge. Unfortunately, I do agree. It's not unfortunate, it's unfortunate for him. I think he has merited such a punishment. Yes. Well, thank you very much. This was very enjoyable, and I hope you can enjoy the rest of the feast day.
Absolutely, you too. If I could get the recording tonight, that'd be great.
Sure thing. I think I can definitely manage that.
This was very good.
Yes.
Beaver with his dopes and whatnot.
No, Beaver's gonna let him have it. With his fists of his mouth, he'll going to punch him down.
Indeed.
Oh, it's gonna be brutal. It's gonna be bloody. It's gonna be great.
You go get it, Beaver. He's all yours.
Leave him to me, he says, as he rolls up his fur.
Don't think of man.
Alrighty.
Alright. See you around. God bless.
Thanks. God bless. Good night, guys. Okay, today is June 12th, 2026. It is 11:28 p.m.